So I'm reading from Matthew 14, verses 22-33. Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, where he sent the multitudes, whilst he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Well, it's good to be here this morning. Hopefully you can hear me loud and clear. I'm not sure whether to look into this small camera here, all these gems that people sat here. We've got Dave, Marg, Emily, Helen, Ian and Andrew. Oh, look at that. Don't get too close up. You know, it's great to be together, isn't it? And we meet just wanting the Lord to speak to us. I'm really conscious and aware of the youth weekend this weekend. And over in the house there, they've got their meeting, and it's a really good number. And their theme this weekend has been "Get Out of the Boat." So it just got me thinking during the week at work about getting out of the boat. And they've kind of done some illustrations on the glass and the windows and the Longcroft. They haven't damaged them, by the way. But there's some great illustrations about the boats and things. And I think I just pray that something of the Lord's word would actually impact their lives and would actually challenge them. And also this morning when we meet together, that it would challenge us. So I just want to just come with a few thoughts about getting out of the boat, but really just a little bit of a context about the story in particular. And it's just really, it's just grabbed me in my thoughts. If you have a Bible, we're in Matthew 14. And just a little bit of a context. The more you read through the Gospels, there's quite a few times that the Lord is actually trying to seek some time alone with the Father. I don't know if you live a very busy life, hectic, noisy, always doing things. I'm looking at a few faces now and I'm kind of... But the Lord himself was caught up in the busyness of compassion. And it really hit home that he still wanted and needed that time with the Father. It comes quite regularly in the Gospels, and it really hit home that we must have our time with the Father. We must do that knee work, as it is described. We must have that time to pray and read and just be still. And I think the Lord was just so caught up with the needs. He knew obviously what was going on. But he still needed and wanted that time with the Father. And I just realized that the walking on the water was after the feeding of the 5,000. That's a fairly big thing to do, isn't it? By the way, it's not just 5,000. It's probably about 15,000. If you take the wives and the children, that's not a very small thing. I think that would tire me out trying to sort that out, the logistics. But in some ways, the Lord, he wanted that little bit of quiet time. And it says, It says that just before the feeding of 5,000, when Jesus heard it, he departed from the boat and to a deserted place by himself. I don't know if you ever feel like that. Maybe this morning you just want to be in that deserted place where you can just be with the Lord. Well, he did that with the Father. In some ways that was his food, was to do the will of the Father, wasn't it? So he fed the 5,000, or you could say the 20,000, 15,000 people. There was much need. He had so much compassion. The disciples were telling Jesus, oh, we need to kind of send them away now. It's getting a bit, you know, it's getting late in the day. It's getting a bit dark. Isn't it time, Lord, that we actually kind of, but no, he just purposed in his heart. And it says in one of the other Gospels that they were the sheep without a shepherd. And there, straight away, you can see the Lord's heart, that he wanted to feed the sheep. So tender, so full of compassion. Just a little challenge this morning, if you've come to that place where you have just felt, Lord, where's my shepherd? He's right there. He's the one that hangs on. When others are kind of maybe saying, we need to tidy up now, he's there. He's in for the long haul. And I just want to get through to this bit here. Verse 22, if you have your Bible, chapter 14, Jesus walks on the sea. You know, we can put a huge emphasis on Peter's failings, and it was Peter trying to walk. This is about the Lord Jesus. This is about him, how far he goes and how he suffers along with us. He says this, and immediately Jesus made his disciple get into the boat. He was getting them into the place where they needed to be on their own, maybe some quiet time. But anyway, it didn't happen. They were caught in the storm, and the storm, I mean, it's surrounded, so I think the lake, or they call it a sea, but it's a lake, they're surrounded by these very large mountains, and then you have the kind of the heat from the mountains coming down and meeting the sea, and the cold air, the moist, and then there's this big kind of causes a massive storm. So this is what was happening. And by the way, they were rowing for quite a few hours. I don't know if you've been caught in anything like this before, I certainly haven't, but they were absolutely shattered. They were going for some hours. And then it goes on. They were caught. The boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. I think that's a nice way of saying it was just absolute bedlam. Scary. Stormy. Noisy. And then it goes on. And I just want to pick up on three words. Just during the week, as I've just been asking the Lord, Lord, would you put something on my heart? Just three words in one of these verses, and it says this. Verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. These next three words, it is I. Do not be afraid. It's those three words, it is I. And in this story, I've been thinking, what was the failure on the disciples' part? And I realise that I don't think they heard and wanted to hear by faith, and they didn't want to see in some ways the Lord, but he was saying, it is I. That is enough for me this morning. And I usually try and feed off a congregation of people, nothing against the six or seven of us here, but there's a real joy in that the Lord, when he comes into our lives, he comes and he says these three words, it is I. It wasn't enough for the disciples. They thought it was a ghost. They looked upon it, possibly fleshy eyes. They didn't have that anticipation of faith in their hearts to say, Lord, it's you. It's you. You've just said those three words. It is I. What's the meaningful thing about the I bit? Then it got me thinking about in the Old Testament when God, or Yahweh, gave his name intimately to Moses, I think it was, and he said, I am the great I am, Yahweh, very, almost indescribable. And in John's Gospel, this is almost the same kind of phrasing that's used when he says, it is I, it is the I am the great I am. It got me thinking then about the I ams. I just want to take you on a little detour, but it's all linked. See, when the Lord comes and speaks into our lives, and I trust this morning those that are listening in on Zoom, that that you have come to this place where you've heard the "It is I" on your life. It may have been 40 years ago, but you know, it's very current, the Lord Jesus, that he wants to say the "It is I" this morning to you. And he says this, when he comes and says the "I am the I am," he says this, says in John's Gospel, "I am the bread of life." Amazingly, he feeds us daily with what he has for us all. He feeds us daily. He says, "I am the bread of life." John 6. He says, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you." Amazing. "I am the bread of life." Here's the next one. He says this, "I am the light of the world." He says this in 1 John, or John chapter 1, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." You know, when he says those three words to you, "It is I," he brings an amazing light into our lives. He brings a direction, he brings guidance. Maybe you're listening in this morning and watching, thinking, "I have no direction on my life. I don't know where I'm going. I don't really know who's leading me." Well, hang on to those three words. When he says, "It is I," he comes and he brings bread for the daily things and he brings light for guidance. Amazing. Light of the world. Then another one when he says this, he says, "I am the door or the gate, and I am the good shepherd." I was thinking about the shepherd this morning, just on the way over in the car. I was trying to concentrate in driving, but the Lord just puts these little thoughts into your mind. And here's a little description of the gates. He's described himself as the gate, and I keep thinking about the sheep that are in that little fold. Often the shepherd would be the gate, and he would lie down on that threshold of the actual fold, so he would protect his sheep. Little ones this morning, if you're listening in, I'm thinking even the very younger ones that are joining us. The Lord is the gatekeeper. If you just trust and believe in him, he's the one that's lying on that entrance. He protects you against all those things, the wolves, the bad things, when he comes and says, "It is I." Amazing. He will be the shepherd. You know, the shepherd doesn't just whistle around and get his dog to do the work. He's the one that is very tender. He gets involved in all of our little... I was watching a program last night. It's the, it's called the Yorkshire Farm. Something about a family on a Yorkshire farm, and one of their little ewes gone and gotten trapped in this little dike, this little river, and no way out. And then the shepherd came. She's on camera saying, "Well, if I left it here now, that would be it. It's a goner." But no, she got it out, got it back to the mother, started to feed again. And I realise that that is what the Lord does, such a tender care for his sheep. Do you remember what I said at the beginning? It was about those people with the feeding of the 5,000. It was the Lord that stayed the extra mile. It was him that said, "They are a sheep without a shepherd." That's how it's described in one of the Gospels. You'll find an incredible shepherd in the Lord Jesus today. He's the good shepherd. He's the one that gets all of those things out of from the sheep's head. They would often get this bad sort of germs, bacteria, flies, insects. It's him that puts on this kind of, I think they used to put some sort of oil on that would actually protect against these things. Incredible, incredible love and care and compassion that the Saviour has on us. Here's another great "I am" statement. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Isn't that an incredible thing? He gives us life. And it's been on my heart this morning, thinking about the weekend, this weekend with the young people, just across the window here. Just been on my heart praying for that young lives, these young sheep would find a shepherd. Praying for Matt Vine this morning as he shares what the Lord has put on his heart. I'm going off track of the thing of coming out the boat and seeing the Lord Jesus, but I just want to say the big thing is in the statement of the "It is I," Jesus. It's about the Lord Jesus. Wonderful. Peter failed. We fail. Our faith often fails, but it's him that holds us up. So he's the bread of life. He's the light. He's the door, the gate, the shepherd. He's the resurrection. He brings us. He resuscitates us. He does that CPR on our lives, which is incredible. Better than any kind of medical trained person. It's him that comes and breathes upon us like he did with Adam. And then it goes on to another one. I just mentioned Matt Vine. I am the true vine. Bless Matt. But this is the true vine. It says this in Isaiah. You don't need to turn there. I'm just going to read it out. But the Lord Jesus describes two vineyards. There's a desolate vineyard and there's a fruitful vineyard. Just a little challenge to you this morning. Maybe there's someone out there who's been in the desolate place where the fruit is gone, dry, no rain, no growth. Let me just read these two vineyards just as a little bit of a comparison. It says this in Isaiah chapter 5 verses 1 to 7. And these are a song. Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones, you know those things that block things, and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes. But it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? That's an amazing statement. Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please, tell you what I will do with my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it to waste. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. Wow, what a vineyard. Something that started off so amazing that the Lord brought to a different and desolate place. Now let's just go to another vineyard. This is a fruitful one. It says this. Just stay with me if you can turn there if you want to. This is in Isaiah again. It says this, Isaiah 27. Chapter 27, it says, the restoration of Israel. In that day, sing to her, a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, keep it. I water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I keep it night and day. Fury is not in me. Who would set briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. Just that little verse there, verse 3. I, the Lord, keep it. I water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I keep it night and day. Now that is an incredible thing that the Lord wants when he comes and says, it is I in our lives. He comes and he wants to take care of it day and night and tend it and look after it. Can we say that this morning, that that is what the Lord does in our lives? I'm looking around the room. There's only 5 or 6 people here. But you can say that, can't you? How the Lord has looked after this vineyard. You know, when we've hit those places of stressful situations, of hurt, of sufferings, of illness, it's right in that place that the Lord, he stations himself, he stays the night and the day, he doesn't send any people away, and he works wonderfully. Incredible. Let's just go back to the boat. I've not even got on to Peter. But I'm just thinking about this phrase, it is I. Let me just go through my notes here. If you get back to Matthew 15, says this, Jesus said those three words, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. You know, in those words he just said, there is faith in those words. If he had not called out, then he wouldn't have exercised faith. What is faith? I put in my notes. What is faith? And I just read up and it just says this, a firm persuasion. A conviction based upon hearing. Now I think Peter, when the Lord said, it is I think his faith went for a walk somewhere. I don't know where it was. I think it's because he wasn't actually looking for. But when he called out and said those words there, and he actually got out of the Lord, save me, I think there was faith exercised. And I don't know where you are in your lives and moments where you think, I have just failed again. Can I just give you an encouragement that when you have faith and you have doubts and when it looks like it's an absolute failure, the Lord always keeps saying, come. So Peter said, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. That there is incredible. Dare I say it again? It's the hand of the shepherd, isn't it? Just getting hold. God's name discloses who he is and what he is like. He is the I Am, the eternal, the unchanging, the self-existent one, the infinite and glorious one in every way, and above and beyond all created things, he is God. Amazing. A word from Jesus calms the sea. The stormy wind controls and gives repose and liberty to tempest-tossed souls. This is just a song. Can I just read it out? It really hit me this week. To Peter on the waves he came and gave him instant peace. Thus he to me received his name and bid my sorrow cease. Then filled with wonder, joy and love, Peter's request was mine. Lord, call me down. I long to prove that I am wholly thine. Unmoved at all I have to meet on life's tempestuous sea, hard shall be easy, bitter sweet, so I may follow thee. He heard and smiled and bid me try. I eagerly obeyed. But when from him I turned my eye, how was my soul dismayed? The storm increased on every side. I felt my spirit shrink. And soon with Peter, loud I cried, Lord, save me, or I sink. Kindly he caught me by the hand and said, why dost thou fear? Since thou art come at my command, and I am always near. Upon my promise rest thy hope, and keep my love in view. I stand engaged to hold thee up and guide thee safely through. Wonderful words. If your faith has failed or it's faltered, he still says, come. This morning he says, come. I don't know if I've got enough time, but just a quick little story. It's a family one, and I've probably said it before. I'm not going to apologize for saying it, because it just speaks to me, and I don't need to look at my notes to remember it. But we all went on holiday. It was Mum and Dad and Phil. Sorry, Phil, if you're listening, and Phil, sorry, embarrassing. But we all jumped in a yellow mini metro. Who can remember a yellow mini metro? Yeah, we jumped in a yellow mini metro and we went and drove from Exeter all the way down to the south of France. And we went there and we went to the coast and we went to the seaside. And then we got to the sea and we were playing around and the sea was just so rough. The waves were huge. There was a real storm going on. And these two young girls had gone out on their lilos and they got caught up in the storm in the sea. And then their dad, he was a German guy that we realized after, and this guy went out to try and save his daughters. And he then got caught in the storm. And then my dad, who maybe thought he was a lifeguard, but he's not a strong swimmer, he rushed in and went out in the sea, and he got stuck in the sea. And all I remember as a young guy was my mum was running up and down the beach screaming, saying, "Help, help." And then my dad, after he was basically stuck out there, and he was going down. And all he says to me was that he remembered that when he realized that he may be taking his last breath, that he called out and he said, "Jesus, save me." And when he called out, his little toe touched a little sandbank, and he just touched that ground. And then he was saved. And by this time, believe it or not, the two girls had kind of floated back in with the current back inside. It was the two men that were just stuck out there. But he called out. Do you know what? It's in the calling out that faith is exercised. There's no fear in it. I don't know how faith and fear work together. But when you call out in faith, the fear just evaporates. Amazing. And then the other father also, I need to end this story, that everyone lived happily ever after. Wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus. But it was in the calling out, straight at that moment, he provided that sandbank. And Dad put his foot down. And he was saved and they came back in. Maybe this morning, you feel absolutely out of your depth. Circumstances have gone so wrong. Maybe it's even in times of illness and suffering. Oh, you just want the Lord to come. Well, he's there. He walks on the water. It's not just about Peter getting out there and failing. It's about the Lord. How far will he go with us? He comes and he walks on the water. Wonderful. Jesus always comes to us in the storms of life. This is reminiscent of the words of God in Isaiah when he says this, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you." Whatever circumstance you're in this morning or in your life, trust in the Lord Jesus. Those waters will not sweep over you. The point is this, I put here, fear and faith cannot live in the same heart. What fear does usually for me, I find, is it blinds my vision. Causes me to kind of look at the circumstances. So Peter looked at the waves. He looked at how boisterous things were. And he just forgot to exercise the faith. And sometimes shut your eyes. Like the Lord Jesus did before the 5,000 feeding. In fact, he just wanted time with the Father to know and do the will of the Father again. That may be in our lives too this morning. Find that quiet time. Fear will move away and faith will have its wonderful work. I'm coming to the end. Bear with. I want to try and finish it in a positive way. Restoring faith after a lapse. When he had left the boat, Peter started out with good intentions, but his faith faltered. Nevertheless, Peter's leap of faith did not end in failure. Even in his fear, he cried out to the Lord. You remember the, even like my dad crying out, maybe you've done that same crying out, knowing that Jesus was the only one who could help him. Peter's experience reminds us, Christians, that a lapse of faith is merely a lapse, and that the Lord is still there for believers when they call for him. Isn't that true? You know, a little phrase that the Lord Jesus says is, "O ye of little faith." Can I just tell you how what that actually means? It says this, oligos, little, pistios, faith, is only used by the Lord, and it says this, as a tender rebuke for anxiety. Do we get anxious about maybe some small things? I do. The Lord is so tender. It is a rebuke, but it's also this tenderness, and it's saying that you will, there will be times when you can become anxious, and he says, no, rely on me. I will come to you. I will walk on the water. Amen. Let's just finish. I'm just going to shut my eyes, just going to pray, and maybe those on Zoom and here, we can just close our eyes. I'm thinking of even just the young ones that are with us this morning. Thinking of the young people in the room over there. I'm thinking of those that have travelled so long with the Lord and are looking to him now in all different scenarios and situations of their life. Lord, Lord, we simply say this morning in our hearts, we come. Lord, our anxious fears, Lord, we pray that they would be replaced, Lord, with the simple faith of getting out the boat. Lord, we wouldn't look upon the boisterous things in life, the circumstances, the ways. Maybe it's the loss of a job. Or, Lord, maybe an illness. Lord, right now this morning we do just look at you. You, Lord, with your tender love and care would help us in these circumstances that we face. They're very real, Lord. But Lord, we take steps this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray for those across in the other building there, Lord, that hearts this morning would be moving out the boat, Lord Jesus, towards you. Lord, we do that together. Lord, amazingly, we can encourage one another to do that, Lord. When you see someone stepping out their boat, Lord, it can just ignite things, Lord, amongst us. Lord, ignite, Lord, your work of the Holy Spirit amongst us, that we, Lord, would all take those steps towards you, Lord. Precious Lord. Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you for ever coming. Amen, Lord.